David Teague does join us, assistant coach at Adelaide, who were made to work for it yesterday. Another fantastic crowd and a really interesting and enjoyable game of footy was played in front of the 43,000 that turned up. Good afternoon to you, David.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Great to have you on the show. It was a good game of footy, wasn't it? I mean, there's so much before you get into the nuts and bolts and the nitty-gritty of how you got the result. In terms of the state of the game, there's been a lot of conversations over in Victoria in the last couple of weeks, but watching that game, that was a very watchable, enjoyable game of footy yesterday.
Yeah, look, I think scoring along with a good crowd makes it a far more enjoyable, even on TV, in terms of just the atmosphere it can create. Probably, as coaches, we look at it and we love our ability to score, but we probably understand there's areas in our defence to get better. But as you mentioned, for a spectacle, I think crowds enjoy seeing goals kicked. And I know Phil Walsh wanted to play a brand of football that got the crowds in the gates, because at the end of the day, that's what football's about. It's about being entertainment.
Teague, before we get on to Adelaide as such, I just wanted to ask you, we were debating early and you're the best person to ask. We were talking about rule changes enabling more scoring, and we almost went the other way and said, well, we think coaches determine the way the game's played and therefore the amount of scores kicked. What would your take be on that? Where do you think it lies in terms of the control over the way the game's played?
I think coaches will react to rule changes. Defence has probably been the constant in terms of winning premierships. So when the rules changes, coaches will try and work out a way to make sure that they can defend. North Melbourne's probably the exception back under Dennis Pagan, where defensively they probably weren't as good as some of the other teams, but offensively they're outstanding. But since then, defence has generally been probably a key element. So I think, personally, I'd love to see the rules stay for a while and see what happens with the game, because even when rules aren't changing, I think coaches are going to evolve against what's thrown in front of them. If one team's really good defensively, well, you've got to find a way to get through that, and that's where the attack might come from.
Teague, if we describe Freo as a very defensive team, how do we describe Hawthorn? What are they?
Hawthorn, people talk about their ability to score, but they're also a great defensive team. They set up a zone that probably West Coast is starting to implement and the Bulldogs have implemented. Their defensive zone is different to a lot of the other teams. And they play an area, they defend, and once they get control of the ball, they're just highly skilled and they're able to score. So as much as they're a great offensive team to watch, they're a very good defensive team as well.
Is there a catch-22 sort of inherent in this discussion, David, for coaches in that, I sort of appreciate why the emphasis has to be on defence, but it seems, I was at the Essendon-Port Adelaide game last night, and Essendon released some of the defensive shackles, and yes, they lost the game, but they also did end up kicking, I think, probably their highest score for the season, certainly over 100 points. So, does trying to attack more have to be at the expense of your defence?
They probably go hand in hand. The teams that defend best can turn the ball over closer to their goals, and the shorter distance from the turnover to the goals, the more likely you are to score. But I think when it comes to coaching, defence is easier to coach. So when you're not winning, it's probably where you can get your biggest return from in a developing side. Offence, I think, is harder. It's probably a bit more instinctive, and there's probably a little bit more creativity to behind it, and it's hence harder to coach. I think that's probably where coaches have probably had a bigger effect in terms of trying to challenge opposition's offence by mastering their own defence.
Do you think that mindset can change? I mean, you know, whilst we're having this discussion about where the game's at, and it's so hard to overcome these defensive mechanisms because they're so effective, what is going to be able to sort of break that and sort of turn the balance more towards attack again?
I think just your ability to compete against the good defences, teams are training their offence probably to break. You look at the good sides, and Hawthorn probably an example of it. Their defence starts from their ability to get the ball and control the ball, so it's their offence that probably helps their defence. So there's no doubt, depending on what your philosophy is as a coach, is what area you'll spend most of your time in training. I'd probably just go back to my experience as defence has probably been easier to coach. But if coaches, Geelong were probably the first ones, they got their offence going, which made their defence good. They got the ball, they took it on back when they were a powerhouse, and that made them quite a good defensive team because they had the ball in their hands and in their front half a lot.
Teague, how's the club going? You as coaches and also your playing group, certainly from a welfare point of view, how are things at the club?
Look, under the circumstances, the club's been outstanding. I think the players and even the coaching group, or I can probably speak for myself, but we're probably at our best when we're in the football environment because we're doing what's natural. We know what we're doing. It's easy. The emotion comes out of it a little bit because you've got a process. Training the last 3 weeks is as good as it's been for the whole year. And I'm only guessing, but I think some of it's because the players are just going out there and doing what's natural. That's their release. And the weekend's form, it was we got the win, but we didn't play as well. But our two games before, even against West Coast, an emotional charge game, we played some good football. We couldn't compete with them for four quarters, but as coaches, we were really happy with the way the team played that week. So we've probably had a positive effect from it, but as individuals and the emotional side, it probably occurs more away from the club than at the club.
That's good to hear. Hey, one of the conversations we're having earlier, David, it's Andy Maher here, was about the value and the importance that individual clubs and list management teams and coaches put on the value of small forwards. Now, you've got two beauties at the moment. If you were in charge of a footy team and you were coaching and you had a key say in the policy of list management, would you make it an absolute priority that you have a couple or as many of these as you can possibly have on your list?
Andy, it probably falls down to your game plan. The way the game's played now, often you've got one less in your forward line. Some teams are probably going back away from that, but whenever you've got one less, you need speed and you need pressure to keep the ball down there, and that's probably where it's really grown in the last 4 years. A lot of teams are getting a free flyer back at stoppages. And I think Freo probably with Ballantyne and Walters. I look at Palopolo's going forward at Hawthorn with Cyril. I think they've probably been the leaders. Ben McLean was outstanding at it last year. They're outnumbered by one. If that one guy can even just halve it, get a stoppage against two, it allows them to get field position. So to answer your question, I think it's really important if you're playing the current game. So
just as an extension of that, Scotty, work us through this question up before. Why haven't they appeared to be a bigger recruiting priority than they have been? E.g. like Jeff Garlett, you know, I can't remember there being much of a stampede for his services at the end of last year.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think Adelaide did value it. They went and headhunted and chased Eddie Betts. They saw the importance of it. I know at the start of the year, Phil really wanted Charlie Cameron. He missed a lot of pre-season. He wanted him to do a full pre-season, not just come back into the senior side. But his importance, his pressure early in the year, we ended up playing him round one because he was just too important for us. We wanted to win. We wanted to do what was right for the team. And we needed him to play. So I think probably the biggest challenge is picking them. I think at under 18 level, it's probably a lot harder to pick which ones. There's probably a lot of them. Which ones are going to go on and become a star or even be a great footballer for a long time? It's probably a harder one to measure and probably something I'm not an expert in yet.
Dave, well played yesterday. How's Scotty Camporelli going? Just before we let you go, has he sort of stepped up into the role that he's found himself, you know, obviously through terrible circumstances, found himself in?
Oh, look, he's been outstanding. As you mentioned, everyone would love to, well, most coaches would love to be a senior coach, but under these circumstances, no one would ever wish upon anyone in the industry. So, look, he's been really good. We were very lucky in terms of Phil's messaging and the clarity in his message. It's made it really easy for Scott and for the rest of the coaches just to continue. We all really believe in the game plan, and we've showed this year that our game plan can compete against Hawthorn and against Fremantle. So we're very confident in that. And then Scott's just sort of been driving the same message, and we've probably kept it pretty simple for the players in terms of they've had a lot on their minds. We've just kept it simple and let them go out and play. So Scott's been outstanding in doing that and just keeping everyone on task and focused, and it's really steeled the group. It's actually quite exciting to watch the way the players have trained the last couple of weeks. It's just their effort and intensity to execute has been awesome.
And Rowan Connolly aside, it's difficult to ask people to pump up their own tyres. But
how
do you?
I resent that, Andrew.
You resemble that. Do you? How do you? Where do you feel you're at, David, in terms of, I mean, you've done your apprenticeship, you've been in charge of your own teams. Do you feel like you've still got some room to build before you want your name and you're happy, ready for your name to be on that front line of contenders? Or do you kind of feel like you're there now?
Look, I probably feel I've still got a little bit to go, and that's probably working and admiring Phil and respecting him so much. And then I got to work with Alan Richardson last year, and both those guys had done a long tenure as assistant coaches, and I've seen the benefits. I've seen some of the things that they've executed, and even as simple as Phil's clarity in his messaging this year is, again, I've learned again from being under him. I don't think it rules anyone out. Look at Adam Simpson. I think he's doing an outstanding job at West Coast, and he was a young coach who didn't have a lot of time even in his assistant. So I don't think it means it has to be the way, but probably for me and my background, I've probably liked the approach they've taken. And look, I think every coach out there probably thinks they can do it. I think I could do it now, but I think I'll do it better if my opportunity comes in a few years' time.
That's all right, David. Look, you when you get on the, you want a senior job, you do have to get on the front foot. Give me a buzz afterwards, and I'll give you a few tips on pumping those tyres up.
Okay, I appreciate that.
I think you answered the question very well, David. Thanks for coming on, mate. Good luck for the rest of the year. We appreciate your time.
No, thank you. And we just like to thank all our supporters. Their support's been amazing through the time, and the fans keep turning up, so we really appreciate that.